Prayers be with Sam. He's got a crowd this morning. That's a good thing. That is a good, good thing. Knock me up just a little bit, Devin, just a hair. I want to invite you to turn with me again in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. That's perfect. Thank you. 23rd Psalm. That may be loud on y'all, though. If it is, somebody wave. No? Okay, we're good. We're good. 23rd Psalm. We've been studying it all month. It's just so full and rich of the Spirit and so much we can learn from it about our walk through life and our attitude toward God. Just an awesome thing. I want to read it to you. Read along with me if you would, please. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for this day that You have made that we could rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We can gather together with good friends and good family, Lord, and lift up praises to Your most holy and precious name, Lord. We thank You so much, Lord, for this church. We thank You so much, Lord, for the blessings that we've already received, Lord. And we just pray that our sacrifice of praise has been an acceptable offering to You, our God. Most of all, Lord, we thank You for the hope of a future that is only made possible because Jesus Christ came to this earth and He took the brunt of the punishment of our sins when He was put to death on the cross, pouring out all of His blood, Lord, only to have You bring Him back from the grave 3 days later. It is because of that we know that there is an eternal life waiting for us together with each other, but most importantly with Him, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that we would live every day in light of that fact, that we would live every day in response to that grace, and we would live every day as we follow the Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Your Son, in whose name we gather and in whose name we pray. Amen. Want to focus a little bit this morning, or a lot actually, on the fourth verse of Psalm 23. It says in the fourth verse, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We've been talking for weeks and weeks about following the Lord and how He's the good shepherd. And He makes us to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. And if you follow Him, if you stay close to Him, then you'll be blessed. And that's true. Amen? But all of a sudden now we're following the Lord, we're listening to the good shepherd's voice, and we're doing what He would have us to do, and we find ourselves saying, wait a minute, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What's the deal with this? We're following the Lord. Why in the world would we be in the valley? Why would we be in any valley, much less the valley of the shadow of death? Why in the world? There's something we need to know that the Bible teaches this morning, and we all know it because we have to live it. But storms in this life, valleys in this life, troubles in this life are absolutely going to be inevitable. You understand that this morning? You're going to have hard times. We're going to have bad days, okay? Even though we follow the shepherd, sometimes we're going to have troubled times, okay? It's why we need the Lord, amen? We're going to have hard times. We're going to have grief. We're going to have suffering. It's why we need Him. There's going to be an ebb and flow to life. The sun is going to come up and then go down. The tide is going to come in and then go out. Our weight is going to go down and then always right back up. Amen? All right? There's going to be tough times. There's going to be rejoicing and there's going to be sorrow in this world. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Because that's going to happen. Job chapter 5 and verse 7 says, yet man is born to trouble, as surely as sparks fly upward. Okay, so this morning or any day, Christian, let us not act like we don't have or shouldn't have to deal with any troubles in our life. Don't act like it's some huge offense that people, or worse, think that maybe God is against me when I have troubles. That's not the case. It's just part of life, and it's a necessary one at that. The second thing we want to know this morning is not only are troubles inevitable, but they're going to be unpredictable, all right? You don't get to pick and choose when you have them, okay? You can't plan out a time. We don't have the leverage to say, well, our family is probably good to have some sickness or illness somewhere between tax season and summer vacation, okay? We'll write that in there because we can probably weather the... No, you can't do that, all right? You don't get to pick and choose when you're going to have a couple of days at home with no power, amen? It's just going to happen. You don't get to plan when you're going to have calamity. You don't get to plan when you're going to have troubles. They're going to be unpredictable, to say the very least. I've had just a few, maybe, I guess, three flat tires in my life. You don't get to choose when that happens, all right? You just don't. One time I was on my way to work. Got to get to work, bam. Flat tire. Boy, this is not the time for this, all right? Another time was in 5 o'clock traffic in Charlotte, all right? I had a flat tire. Not a good, just bumper to bumper, door handle to door handle. No, not now. And the last time was at 1 o'clock in the morning on the way back from the airport. Courtney had picked me up in the airport in Charlotte, and it was on the way back when I'd returned from the Middle East, and I'd been up for like 30 straight hours, you know, riding along the passenger seat, and a flat tire, I got to get out and face it. Really? I mean, I'm a zombie, and it really? Now? Of all times? Of course, the spare was flat too. Amen. All right, you don't get to pick and choose when you're going to have them. They're just going to come. It's why we need Jesus. Okay, it's just the way it is. In every case, whether it be a flat tire, whether it be illness, whether it be loss, whether it be whatever the case may be, it got replaced. I made it home. The difficulty passed. Everything is all right. Praise be to God. All right. They're unpredictable, they're inevitable, but troubles, number three, are also impartial, okay? They don't pick and choose who they happen to. Let us not slip into the line of thinking that because I'm following God that I will not or should not encounter troubles, the valleys, okay, in life. Matthew 5:45, the end of that verse says, He causes, talking about God, causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We see that troubles happen to everybody, okay? They don't get to discriminate when, and neither do troubles discriminate as to who. They don't care who you are, all right? Nobody is immune. No one escapes problems in this life. Everybody has them, both good people and bad people. We have a tendency to say, why is this happening to me? Has anybody said that? Whether it be out loud or to yourself, okay? Let me ask you tell you what the real question is. Why not me? Why not me? I'm a sinner. Okay? I do a lot of things that are wrong. I think a lot of things that are wrong. I don't do everything I should. Why should I think that I'm so special that I shouldn't have to deal with adversity in this life? Why not me? All right? Don't think that just because I've chosen to be a Christian that I shouldn't have to deal with situations like that. That is definitely not the case. We think, well, maybe I believe, preacher, I've had more than my fair share of difficulties in this life. You know what? That may be true. It may not be true. But I'm going to bet you one thing. I'll bet you that it's not near as unbalanced as you think or you feel that it is sometimes. Not near as unbalanced. There are people in this room right now who are dealing with difficulties right now and on a regular basis in their life, who are dealing with difficulties that you and I have absolutely no clue how to manage. Everybody's got them. And yours aren't any worse, and mine aren't any worse, and nobody else's any worse than anybody else. They just are what they are. But the good news is, the Lord is with us. Amen? All right? The other good news we learned this morning is, number four, troubles, they may be impartial, they may be unpredictable, they may be inevitable, but they're temporary, okay? It's going to pass. The key to verse four, if we don't see anything else, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say I live in the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say I am in the valley of the shadow of death. It says, listen, key, I walk through, all right? This valley is being walked through, all right? It had a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end, it will pass. Y'all follow me on this, okay? Even when I'm in that valley of the shadow of death, it's something that I'm going through, not stuck in. In every case, it's going to be temporary. It doesn't say in, it says through. Listen, nothing in this world is permanent. The only thing you're going to take from this world that will last forever, is either a relationship with Jesus Christ or a lack of one. That's it. Everything else is temporary. Nothing in this world is permanent. Say that, please. Okay, don't make yourself out to be a liar, okay? All right? Nothing that's good or bad for that matter is permanent. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. I want to read that to you. Listen very carefully to what Peter wrote. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. After you've been through it a while, He will restore you. The Bible says that. He will restore you. Not only is it good news that troubles are temporary, but let me tell you something to rejoice in this morning. Troubles, number 5, have a purpose. Amen. They absolutely have a purpose. Troubles have a purpose. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we read this a lot in Cornerstone, but it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." When we go through troubles, we learn, hey, God got me through that. And we're able to look backward on it and say, hey, God got me through that before. He can get me through this. The examples of such a thing are just absolutely running wild. I was talking to Marvin Slater just a few days ago. And if you don't know Marvin, he's a member of this church and a former deacon. Well, he's still a deacon, but he's no longer serving on the deacon ministry. But Marvin's been dealing with an illness that causes him great arthritic pain from his bones down in the core through his muscles, and even every few weeks it works its way out through his skin, okay, and manifests itself on the outside and in blisters on the bottom of his feet and on the palms of his hand. I've never seen a real life human being more like the book of Job in my life, and it just cycles and it goes. And I ask Marvin so often, how you doing this week? And he says, okay, right now it's kind of day to day. He wakes up every morning, listen, he wakes up every morning not knowing what type of pain or what type of discomfort or how long it's going to last or how soon it's going to come back around again. Y'all follow me on that? All right, he's dealing with that on an everyday basis. And Marvin said to me, you know what, it's been years now, but it's brought me closer to the Lord. He said, I've learned that, you know what, I may have to deal with this, but it's taught me to lean on Him. It's taught me to lean on the everlasting arms, he said. You know what, until you and I learn every single day when we wake up to turn to God, to lean on Jesus Christ, to rely on Him, then we haven't been made perfect and mature, as Peter was writing. We have not learned the perseverance that James was writing about. We have not become a fullness in the faith of Jesus Christ. Until we learn every day to lean on His mercies anew. Amen? Every single day. Do you know that it was by faith in God that God would get him through it that Jesus Christ went to the cross? What do you mean by that, preacher? Right? Jesus, the Bible tells us when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if there's any other way to do this, if there's any way that this cup might be taken from me, I pray that it would, but not my will, but yours. You see, He had the ability and the desire to call down legions of angels to rescue him from that cross. He had the ability and the desire to do so. But it was because Jesus had faith in God that God would get him through any trial, any tribulation, any valley of shadow of death, that God would get him through it. He had faith. You know what? God will get me through this. It was by faith in his Father that he carried it out, and God proved himself faithful when Jesus came back 3 days later from the grave. Amen? It was by his faith in his Father that he showed us, my Father got me through this. He'll get you through no matter what you find yourself walking through today or this week or this year. He can, he will, he wants to. When we make it through the valley by the grace of God, we look back and we see God got me through that, and he'll get me through the next one as well. Last thing I want to impart upon you this morning, or expand upon this morning, is even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, okay, even though we walk through it, it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, okay? What that tells us very, very clearly, it says, even though I'm walking through it, I will fear no evil. I will not be discouraged today, no matter what. Just refuse in any circumstance, in the name of Jesus Christ, to be discouraged in any and every situation, because it says, you are with me, your rod and your staff. They come. You know, Jesus said to the disciples before, that's part of the Great Commission. Matthew 28:20, there at the end of that verse, he said, surely I am with you when? Always. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have a tendency when we're going through some kind of difficulty, some kind of trouble, some kind of dark valley, to say, where is God? Okay? Where is Jesus now that I'm going through this? Let me ask you, do you believe that he was faithful, that he could be relied upon when he said, I'll have to go to the grave, but I'm coming back? Of course we believe that. We put our eternal hope and faith in it. Do we believe that he said, I am the way, the truth, the life? Of course we believe that. We put our faith and our trust in that. Do we believe that he said, you know what, I'm coming back someday and I'm going to get everybody, I'm going to get all my children and take them back with me to my Father? Yes, of course we believe that. Then why under God's heaven would we not believe Jesus when he said, I am with you always? At school, driving down the road, in the waiting room at the hospital, intensive care, at the gravesite, at your computer, on the telephone, right here and now. I believe it. No matter what happens to me tomorrow, and it may be the toughest thing I've ever known, I don't know. I know it'll be temporary, okay? I know it'll have a purpose for some reason that God wants to fashion me to be like Christ. I know that it's inevitable that something's going to happen, but I trust him no matter what happens. He is going to be with me, not just watching me, but with me every single step of the way. Somebody say amen. The verse goes on and it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay, your rod and your staff. Well, look at the shepherd model of what we're talking about. We're talking about the good shepherd. David was a shepherd. The imagery is of the shepherd. The shepherd took two tools with him everywhere he went when he was out with his sheep. There was the rod and the staff. The rod was a short kind of stick, you know, shortish, maybe 2-2.5 feet long, like a baseball bat. Y'all with me, all right? A little shorter than that. And each individual shepherd usually cut a rod to suit his own size and strength and his ability to use it properly. And it would be about yay long maybe and yay big around, just kind of like a stick to whoop something with, okay? And he would use that. And it was used for a lot of things. It was used for protection. You know, we hear in 1 Samuel when David was talking to Saul, and he said, don't worry about Goliath. I beat up lions and bears and all kinds of things when I was out with my sheep. And he said, I'd grab them by the fur and I'd whip them. And he would use that rod, okay? It was used as a weapon to beat off predators and things that could cause harm to his sheep. But the other, and probably the main purpose of the rod was for discipline, all right? Listen to me for just a minute. It was for discipline. The rod was used, you know, sometimes to pop the sheep with. Get back over there, all right? It was used sometimes to maybe the sheep would be working its way towards some thicket or something, and the shepherd would kind of use the rod and smack the thicket maybe to scare some snakes away or something like that. Sometimes the shepherd would take the rod, and that's the reason of this picking the right size and everything would be just perfect, and he would use it as a projectile. He would throw it, all right, and the sheep would be walking toward danger, and he would throw that rod, and it would startle the sheep, and what would the sheep do? It would turn around and run away from where that rod hit the ground. Right? The shepherd was using that rod to keep the sheep in the flock where protection and fellowship was most easily provided because he wanted it to stay there, okay? The shepherd was using that rod sometimes to throw at a wolf or something like that to scare it away. Can I tell you something this morning? Your good shepherd, now we can probably all remember times when he's used the rods smack us in the back of the head to wake us up and turn us back to him, all right? I know I can, all right? And he's used that rod to beat some sense into me, all right? But your good shepherd has taken that rod and he's scared off predators and he's warded off dangers many, many, many times in your life that you are not even aware it happened. And David's saying it's comforting to know that my shepherd's got that rod and he uses it, and sometimes I'm aware of it and sometimes it smarts a little bit, but I know it's good. I know it's for my best. And it just comforts me to know that my shepherd is there. He's just saying that. The other thing is the staff, and the staff, we've all seen it in a Christmas play, all right? It's the hook thing, all right? That's the staff, and the staff, while the rod was used for discipline and protection, the staff was most used for rescues. Sheep, like us, just think about filling their own guts. That's all they got on their mind is, what can I get for my good pleasure today? I'm not thinking about the shepherd. I'm not thinking about the other sheep. I just want to feel like I'm going to do here in about 30, 45 minutes downstairs, okay? We're bad about that. But even spiritually, even socially, we're that way sometimes. And a sheep will put its head down and start eating grass and not pay anything attention to anything except the grass that's right in front of its own nose. Looking straight down, won't even look up. And a sheep will eat grass and eat grass and eat grass and walk right straight over the side of a cliff without even noticing it was there. A sheep will lead itself into peril trying to fill its own belly without even... Now the shepherds yelled. Okay, hey, you need to come back here just like God tells us we need to turn our life around sometimes. The shepherd has thrown the rod to scare us, okay, maybe even hit us with it, and the sheep, maybe it bounced off, but it's so focused on filling its own gut and its own pleasures that it doesn't pay any attention to that, and maybe the shepherd has called again and again and again, but right there it goes, right off the cliff, right into the ocean. It's happened to real sheep and real shepherds and to real Christians and the good shepherd. But then it is only the staff. See, the rod's not very good at this point. It is only the staff that after the shepherd has gone to great lengths to make its way down to the shoreline, they can reach out and hook around the sheep's neck and pull it back to safe, dry land, because the sheep ain't much count in the water. Amen? Y'all with me, all right? It'll pull it back in. It is only the staff that can rescue the sheep from that situation. David is saying, I'm so glad that my Lord is ready to protect me and is able to and has the staff, and it's comforting to me to know that God is looking at me. Let me tell you a real life story. And this is not personal, but it's very illustrative of what we're talking about. Our church needs a new roof. And the Building and Grounds Committee was out here looking at it and talking about it. And wow, you know, that sort of thing. Y'all know roofs are expensive, right? Right? It can get pricey. Like, well, we gotta do what we gotta do, but boy, that's gonna smart a little bit, okay? And it's a shame that the wind and the rain has blown so many of these shingles off and they haven't lasted and all that. Wow, you know, this is really a difficult kind of situation. This is a tough time. I have to put a roof on the church. And so we got thinking, well, maybe the insurance will cover some portion of it or something like that. You're like, ha ha, yeah, right. Okay, and we get to looking, and the insurance adjuster comes out and says, yeah, you've had a hailstorm back in the summer. You've got some significant hail damage causing you problems, all right? So it's covered. See, the storm that caused the problem was real, but God had sent a storm earlier to provide the solution. Every storm you go through in your life has a purpose like that. His rod and his staff are there to get you through. They ought to bring you comfort. Amen? It's always there. God is always there. He's always trying to help us. He's always reaching out to us. He's always trying to pull us back into his loving arms, to his fray. I just want to tell you, as the verse says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, we have hard times and we have troubles and it hurts. And we know that God's there and we know, we believe that He cares and we believe that He's in us, but it still hurts and we ask the question, why, Lord, don't you take this pain away? And that's a very real and a very honest question to ask and a sentiment to feel, but maybe, just maybe, that's not what we're supposed to be asking. Maybe what we're supposed to do when it hurts that bad and when the pain is that severe is take heart that even in this pain, even in my pain, I know that He's with me and I can fear no evil. My shepherd has the rod. My shepherd has the staff. And my shepherd is on the job. And I know He can be counted on. Amen? Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much, as always, for the truth and the power and the usefulness of Your Word. We thank You that You are our good shepherd, that You are always looking out for us, that You are always protecting us, that You are always teaching us, that You are always warding off dangers and calling us back to the center of the flock, the center of Your will. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, sometimes we've failed to heed Your warnings. Sometimes we have gotten led astray by our own passions and the feeling of our own guts, Lord. But every single time, Lord, just as we are sitting here today, we have the opportunity to be rescued by You. In every case, Lord, we know that the rescue sometimes causes consequences, that the peril that we put ourselves in leaves scars. And it doesn't have to be that way. Lord, may we resolve right here and now, as a church, as a mother, as a father, as a family, as women and children and men of God, to heed Your voice, to follow it and it alone, so that we may always be in the most perfect place, right next to our good shepherd. We thank You for the blessings that can and will result from that. And even then, Lord, we thank You that when we find ourselves in the valleys, in the dark, death-filled valleys, that You will see us through it. We love You, Lord, and we claim Your promise, and we appreciate Your grace. For it's in Christ's name that we always gather, we always read Your Word, and we pray today. Amen. Friend, I want you to know that the shepherd went to the cross because He's interested in you. He loves you. He cares for you. He desires you so much that it wasn't just a passing kind of thing. Well, I've told them what to do and I've reached out to them and I've rescued them all the time. But I love them so much and I'm so desirous of a personal relationship with each and every one of them, each and every one of you, that I'm willing to go to the cross and be punished to death for it. That's how much He loves us. Amen? And that doesn't just apply to your eternal salvation. That applies to every day of your life. I understand this more than I ever have in my life. Okay? I want my daughter Ava to be a Christian. I want her to put her faith in Christ. I want her to be in heaven. But it doesn't just stop there. That may be the most important thing, but I want her to be in protection and love and on the right path tomorrow and in kindergarten and in high school and in the business world. Wherever God takes her, I want her to be in the right place. Amen? That's how God feels about you and me. It's why He has the rod. It's why He has the staff. Even why He leads us through the storm sometimes. Because it's what's best for us. Are you following Him? Do you know Him? Are you in the flock? All you need to do that is come up here during this invitation. I'll turn off my mic and we'll pray together. And the Good Shepherd will receive you. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll write your name in the book of life. And you'll never, ever be without Him. Amen. I hope you'll do it if you need to, as we stand and sing.